Happy day. I'm Liza, your healing mentor. I used to say, all I need in life is for my kids to be happy and healthy. The problem was they weren't happy and they weren't healthy. Both my kids had anxiety, depression, and even Lyme disease. Then one day my daughter told her therapist, what would make me happy is if my mom was happy. So I went on a journey to find my own personal happiness. When I finally became happy, my own kids accelerated in their own healing journey. Now I share my stories, my mindset, and other inspirational healers with you. Let's heal one story at a time. Happy day. Welcome to Very Happy Stories. How many families out there are living with stress, frustration, chaos, anxiety within the home, especially when it comes to parenting our kids? I used to be one of those mothers. I've had to take a huge pivot in my own parenting style. I didn't know this at the time, but I actually shifted and stepped into a more empowered space through conscious parenting, peaceful parenting, gentle parenting. What is this? Some people even call it untigering. My guest today is Iris Chen, the author of the book Untigering. Iris Chen is a peaceful parenting advocate, unschooler, and founder of the Untigering movement. She started out as an authoritarian mom whose goal was to raise obedient and high-achieving children. When her attempts to control and mold her children led to constant tantrums and never-ending conflict, she knew something needed to change. Her mission today is to inspire and support others to make the shift, especially among Asian communities. When you step into this space, this movement of untigering, which Iris will unpack for you today, you will realize that this is a healing journey. When I started incorporating these principles, I saw my children accelerate also in their healing. We removed so much shame and judgment, and I was able to give my children the space and permission to really step in to who they needed to be, how they needed to learn, how they needed to express themselves and feel safe about it. There's so much here, and that's why I call it a movement. This is a phenomenal interview. This is Iris's Very Happy Story. Happy day. Welcome, Iris, to the podcast.
Thank you for having me, Liza.
I am so excited to have you because I follow you. And I, in my own parenting and healing journey of my children, I have found that I've needed to shift gears into this world of gentle parenting, conscious parenting, peaceful parenting. And, you know, I found it to be so healing to my children. It was like something that we needed to incorporate as a family so that my kids could recover from the Lyme disease and the PANS and all the things. And so I know this is such a game changer, and I just can't wait for my listeners to also hear from you, the expert, about peaceful parenting.
I am definitely not an expert. I'm still practicing it myself, but yeah, like I have myself experienced the transformation that it's made for me personally and in the lives of my children. And so I am totally on board with this and like, yeah, very happy to share it with everyone.
Yes. Well, I know that there's a story here and I can't wait to hear it. Like, how and why did you make this shift for your own family? First, give us a little bit of background, you know, on you and, you know, your story, and then tell us a little bit more about how you made this transformation.
Yeah. So my, you know, the movement that I've been trying to promote is called Untigering. And so for those of you who don't know what tiger parenting is, it comes from Amy Chua's book, The Battle Hymn of the Tiger Mother. And it's pretty much like really authoritarian, strict top-down type of parenting with perhaps the goal to raise really successful, high-achieving children, you know, and among the Asian American community, that was what many of us grew up with. Perhaps, you know, other immigrants or other people can relate to that too. And so that was definitely the type of parenting that I grew up with. And, you know, to some extent, it worked. You know, it worked on me. I ended up being a high achiever in school, doing well, going to a good school, marrying somebody else who did, you know, checking off all those boxes. And when I had children of my own, I was like, okay, there's definitely things that I want to change. You know, there are things that I resented about what my parents did and I wanted to change, but, you know, some things worked. And so I still approached parenting with the expectation that, okay, like what I say goes, like expecting obedience, expecting them to like listen to me, not talk back, all of those things. And with my oldest child in particular, he was just pushing back against my attempts to control him.
How so? What did it look like?
It looked like a lot of tantrums, a lot of what I considered overblown emotions, crying, screaming, slamming doors, throwing things. And I was just so upset by his behavior that I just tried to control him more. I thought the answer was, okay, you're doing this. That means I need to up the ante on the punishments, on the control, on the rules, on the pain, so that you know that this is unacceptable behavior. And the more I did that, just the more conflict arose. And it really was creating so much conflict and tension in our relationship, in our family life. I wasn't enjoying parenting. I wasn't enjoying him. And I think that was sort of a scary point for me to realize, like, I love my child. I don't know if I like him. That's sort of scary. And I realized that something needed to change, but I didn't know what, because I thought I was doing the right thing. I thought that, like, oh, my responsibility is to be the adult and be the parent, to set the boundaries and the limits and all of that. And then, I mean, there were a series of things that happened, but one big shift that I had was going to this parenting workshop and learning about neurobiology. And I think it was the first time that science was brought into any advice that was given to me. Was like, it's like our children's brains aren't fully developed yet, and how their bodies and brains are reacting to our attempts to control them, or when we yell at them, what happens in their brain? When we punish them, what happens in their brain? And what I learned was that when I approach my child with disconnection, with anger, yelling, spanking, all of those things, it dysregulates them even more. So the very thing that I want them to do, which is calm down and listen to me and use their brain and be rational, they are unable to do because of the way I'm responding to them. And I think that just was like a big aha moment for me, because I realized that I was the one that needed to change, that the way I saw my child was just so unfair to him, where I just wanted him to do what I told him to do instead of realizing he needed my support. And so went home that day, talked with my partner about it, and really decided from that point on to like get rid of some really abusive practices that I had been doing. Like, I was like, I'm not spanking anymore. I had been, and I felt like it was the right thing to do, but just realizing like, oh, that is so hurtful. That's so damaging. And I can't do that anymore. And I mean, there's this whole process of like what happened after that, because when you take some of those strategies off the table, then you're left with like, now what do I do?
Right, right. Oh my gosh. I just have to stop right here because there's so much there. I think that so many mothers can relate to this. I mean, I'm Filipino, so I totally understand like the Asian control that my parents had. And it really was about obedience, you know, and if you're good, good things will happen. And if you follow our rules, but you know, I was always a disruptor. So for me, I certainly, you know, God gave me like more disruptor children, you know, to kind of like break these cycles. And it was so painful at the beginning to parent my children with these types of principles and practices. And on top of that, I don't know if your children are like this, but both of my children were also neurodivergent. My daughter had autism. I didn't know that. My son had ADHD. And so you're really talking about like not only are their brains developing differently, but just their nervous systems were more heightened. They're highly sensitive. So much of their impulses they can't control. And I had to take a huge pivot too. So I'm curious, when you know, had this aha moment, what did you do next? Was your partner on board? Was your partner skeptical? Did you have to get buy-in from your parents? Like, what does this look like when you need to shift gears here?
Yeah. So thankfully, my husband was very much on board. I mean, I don't know if he himself like made the decision at that point to like stop some of these practices, but he was very supportive of me doing it because I'm sort of like more volatile in my emotions. And so those would be my like go-to strategies more than him. Like he could be much more calm. But, you know, we were living in China at that time, and I was born here. My family is all here. And so my children were actually born in China. We had lived there for many years and we just came back, you know, 3 or 4 years ago. So there was some distance in terms of family observing us or being worried about what my parents would say or what other people would say. There was some distance. And I'm really thankful for that because we could then form our own family culture. In some ways, it's easier to break the cycles when you're not sort of like all in it and enmeshed in it in the moment. So what I did was like, I made that sort of like cold turkey vow of never doing that. And then I think a lot of it for me was beginning to shift the way I thought about my children. Like what you said about like, once you realized your daughter had autism, once you realized your son had ADHD, then you had more, so much more compassion and understanding. So it's not that I need to like say, oh, I need to be more, you know, empathetic and compassionate. In some ways, it's like, I just need to see differently. And once I see differently, then I do naturally have more compassion. Because the way that I saw my children in the beginning was like, they should be able to do this. They are willfully not listening to me. And like you, I think over the years, I discovered that my child was highly sensitive. I would have never understood that about him before. I labeled him as defiant, as dramatic, as emotional, as like easily overwhelmed, all these like negative labels that I gave him. But once I understood, oh, he was actually highly sensitive. He got anxious. He got overwhelmed easily. And I wasn't there to support him. I instead heaped more judgment, more shame, more punishment on him when he was struggling. And so, yeah, I feel a lot of sadness about that, that I missed out on understanding who he was. But once I learned to see him and like really accept and embrace who he is, then I was able to be there more as a support and a help and be there to like regulate instead of more anger and judgment and expectations.
Yes. Yes. Oh my gosh. Everything you're saying, I'm just shaking my head. Definitely. I think that you had mentioned the word shame. And I think so much of that old school way of parenting, there just is a lot of shame embedded in the program. And I mean, I just think, you know, my parents did it to me, that they did their best and that's just what they learned. And I just think that was my go-to at first. And I did realize how damaging it was. But then more than that, I realized how damaging it was to them. And then I kind of realized how much damage I had from shame. When you shift gears and you go in with the intention and the mindset and the understanding that my child isn't doing this intentionally, isn't trying to be bad. When you go in like that, it's so hard not to like think about your own issues and maybe dysregulation. Was this part of your journey too? How much of the work did you have to do here?
Yes, so much of the work. I think most of the work is about, you know, what's going on inside of ourselves as parents and the reparenting that we have to do so that we can show up for our children in whole, you know, regulated, loving ways. Because the voices that are going on inside our heads, the ways that we were parented, perhaps, we don't have those resources. Like, if we don't have those resources, how can we offer that to our children? And so, yeah, so much of it had to do with changing the voices, resisting those negative voices inside my head, and looking at my history, my story, my childhood wounds, those triggers that come up when my child is on the ground screaming. Like, what is it bringing up for me? So I know that one thing that we say in like the peaceful parenting world that is like, quote unquote, good parenting is not about how your child behaves, but it's about who we are as parents. And so I think it's like, good parenting is about us. It's not about controlling our child. It's not about like having this perfect, you know, obedient, good kid. It's about like, even when our child is dysregulated, what are we going to do? How am I going to respond? And even in that, to like offer ourselves so much compassion through the process, because sometimes we need to have big emotions too. Sometimes we need to have the meltdown. And like, who is going to be there compassionately for us in those moments? You know, we need to really offer ourselves a lot of compassion and empathy and space to feel all the emotions too, just like we want to hold space for our children to do that.
Oh my gosh, I love that so much. It's so, so true. Thank you so much for sharing that. Like, we do have to hold self-compassion, and that's what we have to model for our kids too, right? Because I know that my kids are hardest on themselves, as hard as I am on them. I know that they are also hard on themselves. So there is that piece of like untiring ourselves.
Absolutely.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I love that so much. I know we're throwing out these terms about peaceful parenting and gentle parenting. So why don't we just talk about that for a second? What does that mean? Because some people are going to hear this term and it's like, oh, you just let your child do whatever they want to do. And that's not it at all. So tell us more about that.
Yeah. You know, I use these terms interchangeably. You know, there's conscious parenting, respectful parenting, all of those things. I think the reason why I landed on peaceful parenting is because, again, I think of peaceful parenting as a practice. Like, we are peacemakers. Like, we need to make peace. So it's not about having peace all the time, but it's about the practice of making peace. And I think of it as power sharing and partnership with our children instead of power over. So I often think of parenting in terms of social justice, because like in our relationships, when there is an imbalance of power, it just leads to abuse. It leads to a lot of oppression. But we sort of assume that that's the natural way of a parent-child relationship. And I think what we need to question is whether or not we can do more power sharing in our relationship instead of using our power to control our children, get them to do what we want to do. We make decisions for them because we know best. Is there a way where we can see and respect them as whole human beings, learn to be more in partnership with them, just like any relationship, right? So if I'm in a relationship with my friend, it's not permissive for me to honor them when they cry or allow them to eat what they want to eat. That's just what respectful friendship is. So I think that's sort of like the core of how I would describe what peaceful parenting is: sharing power, being rooted in love and respect, being aware of our own issues as parents so that we're not projecting it onto our children, just being in more equitable relationships with children.
Yes, I love that. For me, it was about being accountable to conflict also like within my relationship with my kids. So like there are times I have to like show up and apologize and be like, I'm sorry. I snapped at you. That's not right. Let me take a minute. Let me breathe for a second and breathe, because I want to show my children how to be respectful to people. And I think that's kind of like the equity you were talking about, you know, like also being accountable when I'm not doing things right. Give us a couple more examples of what this looks like in the day to day.
Yeah, I totally relate to that too, in terms of being accountable, because I think with my old way of thinking is like, my children made me upset. You are making me angry. You are making me yell at you. And so I really placed the blame on them for acting up, so that of course I'm going to explode and yell, you're driving me crazy, instead of being accountable to how I am responding and knowing like, okay, the way I'm responding now, I'm in charge of that. I need to figure out ways to express those in respectful ways that don't harm other people, right? So yeah, I think that accountability is a big piece. So maybe in the past, when my kids are making a lot of noise and I'm overwhelmed and I yell at them, you know, that accountability piece is, okay, I'm aware that my temperature is rising. I myself am getting really overwhelmed by all the noise, but they're kids. It's not their fault that they're making noise. That's what kids do.
Sure.
And so how can I ask or communicate what I need in a non-controlling way? So I might say, okay, you guys, I'm feeling really overwhelmed by this noise right now. Like, can we tone it down a little? So I'm not saying, shut up, go to your room. You know, you guys are driving me crazy, or, you know, and then I take away something from them to punish them. You know, it's not that. It's like, okay, I'm feeling this. Would you guys like to go outside to play where you can make a lot more noise? Or I can say, I'm going to go into the room right now and take 10 minutes to myself because it's a little bit much for me. I can like put on headphones and turn up the music. I myself can go on a walk. I mean, these are things now that my children are older and can take care of themselves, I can do. Maybe it's a little bit more challenging when they're younger and you have to be there to watch them. But I think it is, again, like noticing what's going on inside myself, becoming more aware, being able to name it, being able to ask for what I need, or to hopefully get what I need maybe outside of that moment.
Yeah, all of that. So many people ask me today, what is the protocol for your kids now that they have recovered? And our biggest staple is Vital Plan herbs. I even use them for my treatment. It's the only thing I use to treat my Lyme, and I feel amazing. I am so grateful for Dr. Rawls and his brand, because Vital Plan herbs are clean, clean, clean. Because of this, my kids never experienced herxing. Low and slow is the name of the game here, and I successfully pulled my daughter off of antibiotics through the use of Vital Plan herbs. The herbs that we are on are in today's show notes, and you can also use my promo code for 15% off. It's simply VeryHappy15. That promo code again is VeryHappy15. Everything that you're saying, you know, I've seen that in my everyday too, where I'm pausing and I'm actually then communicating to my children, like, look, I'm feeling nervous right now. Could you please, I'll have to say things like to my son, could you please not do that? I'm feeling nervous, or kind of having the conversation. I've realized though that to do peaceful parenting, and I guess this is why I call this conscious parenting, is you really have to be present. You have to so much be able to sit in your body, handle discomfort, you know, feel the uptick and slow down. And I think there's so much of that that I had to like learn for the first time that I never did before because I didn't grow up with this kind of parenting. And so like, I was quite dysregulated and I was the same way of like, shut up, you drive me crazy, you know? And to make these modifications and lifestyle shifts, I just had to do so much work in being present, being intentional. It's a lot of work. Did you have to experience this too?
Yes, yes, absolutely. And so I think it's really recognizing that the way we relate to our children is just so tied in with all of our lives. And it's not just like, oh, I'm going to focus on my parenting. You know, it might be, I need to focus on getting enough rest. And it might be, I need to really create stronger boundaries in some of these relationships that are unhealthy for me. You know, so it's really not just about parenting. It's about our whole lives where we can create more space for us to know ourselves, to be attuned to ourselves, and just like this modern lifestyle, this capitalistic lifestyle that many of us are part of. And it's really hard when it's just like, go, 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 achieve, you know, go from one event to another. And so, yeah, like what would it look like for us to create a little bit more space? Like, I think a lot of healing is not just like, what do I need to do to heal? But it's rest,
yes, right?
You know, rest is healing for our bodies. We need sleep. We need to take it slow when we're not feeling good. And so in the same way for us, as well as for our children, how can we create more space so that instead of go, go, go for them, where they don't have time to understand what's going on in their bodies or in their emotions, is there enough space for them to also pay attention to what's going on inside of them? And so it's a whole lifestyle shift.
It really is. It really is. And actually, it kind of leads into the next topic that I wanted to go over with you, and that is unschooling. It's a great segue. I have read a little bit about unschooling because my son is twice exceptional and he's been burdened with a lot of shame, not just from his parents when he was younger, but in school. You know, it happens. It's just, it's really difficult in the institution of education for him to like express who he is and learn the way he wants to learn. And there was a moment I was going to unschool him and we ended up finding this amazing school, private school where I live. But tell us about what unschooling is and how you were able to do this within your family.
Yeah, I really have a hard time sort of like defining unschooling for some reason. I like to think of it as like living, learning, loving outside the construct of school and really decentering compulsory schooling in our lives. So for us, what that looks like is, you know, some people call it self-directed learning, self-directed education, where we're really empowering our child to be self-motivated in their learning and to have agency and autonomy over how they learn, what they learn, just who they learn with, all of those things. And especially, you know, for neurodivergent children or just children who don't necessarily fit the box of school standards, it makes a lot of sense, right? It makes a lot of sense. But my children, I believe, are, you know, fairly neurotypical. And I feel like they probably could have done fine in school. But I think just unpacking my own experiences in school and just recognizing a lot of harm that came from it, just because it's the system, you know, there's standards, there's expectations, there's a lack of bodily autonomy, you know, where you have to contort yourself to meet the expectations of other people. If you want to move your body, you can't move your body. If you want to talk to your friend, you're not. If you want to read this book, no, you have to read that book. And I think as grown adults, many of us are unpacking those things that we learned through the school system. And so the way we got into it was actually we were living in China, like I mentioned. My children, because we have foreign passports, couldn't attend the local public school system. They just didn't have room for us. So we were left with the option of like, okay, you can send them to this massively expensive international school, or you could homeschool. And so for us, the option was like, okay, I could homeschool, but how can I do it in a way where we won't tear ourselves apart?
Sure.
Where I have to be the teacher and like I'm on you to do your work and all of that stuff. And I become the bad guy, the bad cop, right? And I was like, I don't want to do that. Like, how can I homeschool in a way that works for us and for our family? And then when I learned about unschooling, just the philosophy of it really resonated with me. I was like, yes, children are naturally curious.
They want to learn. They have an appetite for learning.
Yes. They're naturally motivated to figure out their world. And learning is most meaningful when it's self-motivated and when it's like meaningful for them and not enforced by somebody else. And when they have the freedom to learn in ways that feel aligned with who they are, and when there's not grades or somebody else judging them, wanting them to perform in certain ways. I mean, like all of these things really resonated with me. And so we began to just say, like, they were like 8 and 7 at that time. And so I was like, oh, they're young enough. We'll just try this. You know, it's an age of play. It's an age where they can just, you know, have fun during the day and it'll be fine. And so it started out as a year and we've been doing it ever since. And I think it's really in the beginning where I chose it because I was sort of out of options. And that's like the path that, you know, was available to me. Now, I think after practicing it, after learning from many other unschoolers, really seeing it as a practice of liberation,
yes,
as a practice of like coming back to ourselves, where I feel like compulsory schooling is really teaching us to forget about ourselves, to forget who we are, to not be attuned to our sense of desire, our curiosities, our passions, the things that we love. Like learning has to be painful and it's right when it doesn't feel good, and all of those things that have to unlearn as adults.
Yes. I mean, I see just school was so traumatic for my children for so many years. And it almost like desensitized them to who they really are authentically. I think the hardest years when my kids were in school added to their overall physical health, even, you know, the stress and everything. And I'm so grateful that like we're not in that situation anymore. But I could see this being just healthier, you know, in general, just like if you are in a place of needing more wellness, that like coming back to who you are, just the freedom of learning the way you want. And like you said, being self-motivated, I could see so much benefit there. So two things. If somebody wanted to look more into unschooling, where would they start? And then tell us a little bit about the benefits that you've seen in your kids today now that you've been doing this for a couple years.
Yeah. The first place that I looked at, you know, I just like Googled unschooling or whatever. I think Alliance for Self-Directed Education is a good place to start. And that's like self-directed.org. That has a lot of resources there. There's a bunch of different podcasts. There's one called Exploring Unschooling. There's one called Radical Learning. There are just so many resources now that even didn't exist. Yeah. And then I also write about it on my blog, untigering.com. But yeah, you can Google it and there's a lot of resources out there. I would really encourage people to look at it, not just from an educational standpoint. It's just like, okay, my kid doesn't fit into the school system. How can I find another way of doing it so that my children feel more at ease, even for children who could fit into the school system.
Yes.
Why would we choose this way? And it's not because they can't fit. It's because of the wellness, the whole, like what it means to be human in this world. What it means to be human is that you can attune to your emotions, that you have the freedom to sleep and rest, like listen to your body when you need to. You have the freedom to express your emotions. You have the freedom to have agency and autonomy and take the actions you want to make a meaningful life for yourself, instead of being told, this is what you need to learn at age 8, even though it has no meaning for you.
Right. It really doesn't make sense. Like the way the system's set up does not make sense. And a lot of kids are not buying it.
And it's just really, it's not designed for children, honestly. It's not designed for humans.
Right. No, I agree completely.
Yeah. So these are things that we really need to question, because school life is so, you know, ubiquitous. It's just like, of course you send your kid to school. Like, we don't question it. But I think if we're thinking even in our adulthood and about wellness, about mental health, about personal growth, inner healing, a lot of the things that we learn through the school environment are at odds with those things. And so we have to really question, is this a system that we want to be a part of, that we want to send our children into, when we have to undo so much of that and unpack it? And there are other ways of being like, what does it mean to be human in this world? And how can we allow our children to be human in this world in healthy ways? And not just think like, oh, education, like their mental, like academics and getting into school and getting grades and all of that stuff. Like, well, what about their whole being? How can we see our children not just as students, quote unquote, but as whole beings? And all of these parts of themselves have value and need growth and nurturing. And how can we do that in healthy environments?
Oh my gosh. Yes to all of that. It's a beautiful foundation to lay for your children. Like, and that's why I see it as a movement, really. And it's definitely gaining traction. And I think that some people didn't even know this was an option. That's kind of like how programmed we are. And so there are some people that have heard of this, but there are probably some listeners that they're like, oh my goodness, that would be amazing. That sounds like a fantasy land, but it's not. You know, it's something that you really did implement. And like this trip to China that you took years ago, this was like the biggest blessing ever. Like, you know, because it sounds like you had to take all these little pivots and unschooling and untigering, and you kind of had the space and like the right time and environment to like make all these changes for your family. How beautiful.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I talked to my husband the other day and was like, do you think we would have unschooled if we had stayed here in the States? And I'm not sure, you know, because I think it's like all those little steps along the way where we are sort of like making countercultural choices, not just to be countercultural, but because we understood that what we were told was normal didn't really align with who we are, didn't really fit. So like, moving to China didn't really make sense. Like my husband giving up his career didn't really make sense. All of these things didn't really make sense. And yet they were what felt right to us. And I think all those little steps along the way helped pave the road for us to make that shift to unschooling. And so for people who aren't ready to necessarily like jump in and like take their kid out of school or whatever, it's like, you don't need to do that. Begin by just becoming more aware, by taking those little steps of saying, you know, that's not working for me. So I'm not going to like put my kids in 10 different extracurricular activities. You know, that might be your one little step of creating more space and like rejecting what everybody else says that you need to do and really following what aligns for you and your family. And like, as you begin to take those little steps away from what everybody else tells you to do and follow your own knowing, like be attuned to yourself, know who you are and what your family needs, then you gain confidence, you gain trust in yourself. You can begin to take other steps to follow what works for you and your family instead of following what everybody else is doing.
Yes, Thank you. I think that's such a realistic approach. People might feel overwhelmed, like, I want to do it. You know, I don't know where to start, but I think your advice is great. Like, just start small, start where it makes sense for you. Give your family more space to each other. I love that. I love that. Follow your intuition too. So tell us a little bit about, I mean, I'm sure there's so many benefits to the homeschooling, but tell us, what do you see in your kids today from the unschooling approach that surprises you or makes you grateful?
There is so much. I think a key to why we do what we do is definitely connection. It's just like the beautiful relationship that we have with one another, because there's this time to do it. There's like the energy to do it. I'm not coming over them and trying to control and coerce them to do things that they don't want to do. So there's definitely just the tight connection that we have with one another, being around each other, like having the space to be around each other often. But also just like what I mentioned before about like that self-attunement, where I feel like they really know who they are, because a lot of unschooling is like taking the time to know who you are, know what you like, and so that you pursue the things that you love to do. So yeah, instead of like these outside voices, these outside expectations coming over them, telling them who they ought to be, it's really growing from the inside out. It's just like where I can see in my children where they don't have a problem saying no to certain things because they know that that doesn't work for them, or they're okay with disagreeing with people or others disagreeing with them. They won't say yes just to please other people, which can be disruptive sometimes, but also a really good practice for them to know who they are. Yeah, they can set good boundaries for themselves. They know their limits. So because they're attuned to what their body needs, and it's not like somebody else saying like, okay, you need to wake up at this time, or you need to, like, my children are really self-attuned to know how their body feels and when they need the rest that they need, when they're hungry, when they've overeaten, or when they need a break from their screens and those things.
Kind of like all the things that grown adults are trying to learn now.
Yes.
They're like 30s and 40s. Yeah. Everything that you are mentioning, the word that popped up into my head was they are really practicing also self-permission. That's something that, like, I had to discover that I have permission to do things. And I was like a grown woman, like after my kids were already born. And that was like something I had to lean into and practice and exercise. But all the things that you were mentioning, it's like your children are growing up with that empowerment of knowing that they have the self-permission to do all these things that we're all trying to learn now.
Yeah, it really is that. And I think it can make people uncomfortable because they're not so easily controlled. You know, I can't just tell them, I need you to do this, and they'll go through it. It's just like, yeah, they have their own mind. But I really see that as something beautiful, as something that I'm learning how to regain in myself, like that permission to be myself, the permission to say no, the permission to disappoint people, the permission to listen to my body, all of those things that I'm still learning how to do.
Yes. Oh my gosh. It's such a beautiful story. So tell us more about, people want to learn more about your philosophy, your mindsets, you know, how do they do this? Tell us all the resources that you provide.
Yeah. So I wrote a book. It's called Untigering: Peaceful Parenting for the Deconstructing Tiger Parent. So you can find that anywhere you buy books, online or elsewhere. It might be in your local bookstore as well. So I think that probably goes most in depth into, you know, my journey, my own story, and the mindset shifts that I had to make in order to untiger. And there's also my website, untigering.com. Some like in-person things that I have really enjoyed doing is like, there's a bunch of workshops that you can also purchase on my website, but I also have like a group membership where we meet twice a month and just hold space for one another and talk through different challenges with our peaceful parenting or unschooling practice. And I like to call it like co-regulation for parents.
I love that.
Just as you said, like most of us didn't grow up with this modeled for us. So we don't have the resources. So it really helps to be in a community of other parents who get the struggle that we have, the challenges, and to know that we're not alone and to be there for each other. So there's that. And I also do one-on-one coaching as well for if people need more support.
That is amazing.
Also, I'm on Facebook and Instagram, and I pretty much post every day different resources, different thoughts about peaceful parenting and unschooling. So what I've noticed for myself is not like the dramatic 180 shift necessarily, but it's like the slow drip of, you know, shifting the way that we see and being nurtured and practicing those different mindsets and different ways of seeing day in and day out.
Yes. And I think that's where I found you on social media, and you every day, everything you post resonates with me. Facebook and Instagram, I'm all over it. And your newsletter is so valuable too. I think it's a great resource, and your blog. So, I mean, you're everywhere, Iris. So, between like the book, the website, the coaching, the membership. And I think it's a movement. I think that so many moms and families can heal from this movement and these principles. And it's just so wonderful for our children too. So I thank you so much for sharing your story and being on Very Happy Stories.
Yeah, it was a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for listening. If you felt inspired, please submit a review. More reviews help others find Very Happy Stories. And don't forget to subscribe and share this with someone else you know who could use a very happy story right about now. Until next time, have a happy day.
Come on a journey like no other, where you will discover many roads that will lead you to a happier, healthier, and more stress-free life. And the beauty is, you don't need any vacation time for this adventure. The journey will come to you. Join Avery Rich on your very own journey into yoga. Along the way, she will demystify yoga poses and guide you into a yoga posture or short sequence, all in less than 15 minutes. You have nothing to lose but stress. The Journey into Yoga podcast. It's not for people who like yoga. It's for people who don't like yoga. Follow or subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or at averyrich.com.